I never told you, boys, actually. I've met an F1 world champion.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah. When I was 13, I met... I'll let you guess. I'll give you a clue. He's British.
Lewis Hamilton.
I'd love to, but I haven't met the GOAT yet.
Don't.
Okay, so it's not Hamilton. He's British, though, so it's one of 10 drivers.
Does he have a moustache?
He has a very bushy moustache, yes.
Oh, it could only be one person, then?
Yeah.
Mansell, right?
Mr. Nigel Mansell. Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, I met him when I was 13, when I used to do karting. Very nice man. He gets a lot of stick, but honestly, one of the nicest people I met for about 5 minutes. So, yeah, on the topic of F1, welcome back to the Gridwatchers podcast, episode number 4, where today we saw Mercedes win the constructor title with 4 races to go, which is an impressive feat, and I believe that's 7 in a row for them. I mean, it is such a phenomenal achievement to have. And Rickson, of course, Mercedes fan. It's another achievement to add to the books.
Yeah, I mean, I know we had the conversation last week about Lewis being great, but it's like he keeps on saying, you know, it's not just him, it's the team. Mm-hmm. And they've just been so far ahead for those 7 years. It's been stupid, really. But I mean, look, 7, you know, and that the thing, like, 7 anyway is a crazy feat, but to do it on the bounce for 7 years is absolutely nuts.
Yeah, 7 with no even sort of challenge from anybody else, really. Has been inter-team, rather, of course, between Hamilton and Rosberg, but no real challenge from any other team, which is quite surprising, really, when you've got Ferrari and Red Bull in that sport for the past 7 years and before that even as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the other teams are playing catch up, but they're not doing enough. And no. I know some people like to say, oh, F1's broken, I'm one of them. But it's not Mercedes' fault that the rest isn't capable of catching up. Like, every time you think, like, you have free practice, and especially this weekend, because there was only one session of 1.5 hours, and you see, like, Verstappen, like, what was it, 2/10, and you're like, ooh, all right, you know, only one free practice, maybe they'll leave in the field a bit, and then qualifying comes along, boom, 8/10, and you're like, oh, here we go again.
it's so true.
But
like
today on race pace, whole different story.
It was, wasn't it? It was. I mean, if you even look at the start, I mean,
yeah,
Max jumping Lewis, which I mean,
Lewis had a brilliant start because of the camera angle and the elevation. It's so difficult to see. You're like, oh, he's ahead. No, wait, he's not. And then suddenly you see an AlphaTauri, and you're like, yeah, this camera angle isn't working, is it?
it was surprising because I've thought he's had a good start. But Max had a phenomenal start. And we had a chat beforehand, didn't we, about how quickly Bottas was going to lose a lead. But in fairness to Bottas, he had a very good start and held the lead for the first section of the race.
Yeah, because Hamilton couldn't attack him because Hamilton had to defend from Gasly. Yeah, from Gasly.
Mm.
Max wasn't close enough to attack Bottas, so he got through the first sector clear. And then, you know, Merck, they can just drive their own race.
Yeah,
fair play. I thought he was going to or bottle the start or bottle the first two corners, but he waited until a bit further in the race.
Turn 7 when he ran over some debris on lap 2, from what I remember.
Yeah, from the Ferrari. Did you see the picture on Twitter?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. It's absolutely massive piece of front wing just lodged beneath his car.
Or was it? I didn't see that.
When you see it, you'll realise why he was suddenly so slow. Well, not so slow, but a lot slower than what he potentially could have been.
Do you think he would have made up the time if, for the pit stop, they held the car up a bit longer and someone got underneath?
Doing that, I think you lose too much time. If you think about how long you've got to get somebody beneath it to get it out, that's easily a few more seconds.
Yeah. Minimum. Well, it is quite dangerous being in a pit crew
beneath a car that's fucking red hot. Yeah,
yeah, but even if you're the the front Jackman, Asuka, Lance Stroll.
He got absolutely sent, didn't he? His Lance Stroll's pit stop. He flew. And I don't know, I think he had to go to see, go to the medical center because it was a big old hit.
It's crazy when you see it because it didn't look too bad until you realize how, even though they're going down the pit lane, they're still going really quickly. You know, it's nearly the same as getting hit by a car. You know, he went fucking miles.
55 kilometers or 50 kilometers down the pit lane?
Changes depending on the circuit.
But I mean, it's almost like a whiplash effect from what I saw on the replays. But I don't know if he's okay. I presume he's okay.
I'm pretty certain we would have heard otherwise.
Death it used to happen, like car.
it used to happen a lot more often, like in the 90s. Well, then obviously you still had refueling and pit stops were more chaotic anyway. But now pit stops are like, you know, like a well-oiled machine. And it doesn't happen that often anymore. But to be fair, if it would happen to any driver,
it would be Lance.
It would be Lance.
That's fair.
I think one thing we can all agree, though, is we were absolutely all gutted for Gasly retiring on, was it lap 4 or 5?
Yeah.
With a coolant issue in the engine. And I think Gasly was on, you know, he wasn't on Max and Mercedes' pace, but he had every chance of getting podium because Verstappen eventually retired.
Yeah, seeing how the race played out in the end, if Gasly still would have been there, because now Fiat was up there. Normally, you'd say Gasly is one or two positions at least ahead of Fiat. Yeah, it was really unlucky because, you know, P4, I really wanted him to be on the podium just because of the helmet. Did you see the helmet he sported this weekend?
A Senna base, wasn't it?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it looked really good. Really good.
It's unlucky, but I think, you know, Gasly's been confirmed now for AlphaTauri, and they said they want to give him a sort of a leading role. Like, well, obviously he's going to be the clear number one, I reckon, but obviously, you know, take his teammate by the hand, as you'd say. And I think he's going to be brilliant at that, because ever since he's been moved back to AlphaTauri, he's been unleashed.
Yeah, I think the best thing for him is to, I mean, stay with them until he can get a drive outside of the
Red Bull program.
But I don't know if you saw on Twitter, but after the race, they asked about Kvyat being fourth and, like, is that enough for him to earn his seat? And the whoever's the principal for AlphaTauri just said no, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
There's going to be it's looking like that fella from F2 is going to...
Tsunoda?
Yeah, I think he's. Yeah. Looks like he's going to be lined up for the seat. But, I mean, AlphaTauri, they've been so good this season. They're creating a brand that's almost making them become their own team rather than, like, for me, Toro Rosso was always just Red Bull Junior, as it feels like AlphaTauri is more of a separate team. I feel like Gasly could have potentially had that podium off Danny Ric if he would have survived and carried on through. But you always knew something bad was going to happen with him when straight from the off they had extra team members around his car from some partner business or something like that. They were trying to plug into the car to pull out a load of data. You just see that and you straight away you're thinking this clearly isn't very good. I think they had the same thing for George Russell, but that's his downfall was a separate problem.
It was, wasn't it?
So
go on.
It happened to Grosjean in Baku two or 3 years ago.
Yeah, but you never want to be in the same category as Roman Grosjean.
the amount of hate Grosjean got. Well, obviously him saying it was what was the name again? Ericsson that hit him. That didn't help either.
Ericsson, yeah.
But because it's Russell, he gets away with so much.
Well, it's not even that. I think it's more the thing. Like I laughed when I first saw it. Like I actually missed it. I went to make a drink, and the one time I do, the safety car comes out and he spins out. That regardless, typical. I think it was one of those things where obviously he was coming downhill and it was just up on the crest where he smack the gas and
to heat his tires up.
But I think the thing that makes it a little bit better than Grosjean is obviously afterwards the way that he was just sat by the barriers, like telling the marshals to like piss off, basically. You know, whereas like you said, Grosjean immediately blamed someone else. That's why I think Russell got a little bit less. Well, I didn't see anybody giving him any hate, but you know, I think that's why he got less and kind of got away with it. But I don't know if you saw on Gram, but George Russell posted something and then Grosjean commented, and then Grosjean just got loads of hate. He was trying to make George like feel better about crashing. Everybody's going like, "Oh, you and Grosjean are now the same driver." You know,
yeah,
career ender.
I think with Grosjean, of course, Grosjean's been in F1 for years and years before he had that crash. While Russell, it's only his second season, but you could definitely see the difference in mannerisms. Like you said, he telling the marshals to piss off, and you could see how angry he was as well after crashing. It reminded me of Hakkinen. I think it was in Monza when he crashed into the gravel. So it meant a lot, didn't it, to him? And I was gutted for him because he's one of the more likable drivers.
Could have been.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah. It would have.
Well, I think, I was going to say, given that they would have come off a safety car, maybe not, but it looked like it was very difficult to pass anyone. So he probably right, would have survived.
Talking about crashes, let's talk about the main one, which was Max Verstappen with an explosion of the right rear tyre. I mean, Ken, he's your favourite driver, so talk us through his crash.
How I felt emotionally, or
a bit of both, please.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, everything that happened before, you know, putting the pressure on Bottas, Bottas making the same mistake twice, thinking gravel is part of the track, and then overtaking him, and you're like, oh yes, here we go. You know, still the same three people on the podium, just in a slightly different order, and everything was going well. You know, he knew he wasn't going to catch Hamilton. But he pulled a massive gap to Bottas, and you think, you know, control the race from here, be happy with your P2. It's an extra, you know, it's a position you're gifted. Well, he had to work for it, but it's a bonus, you know. You go into the weekend thinking you're third. And then he came into the first chicane, I think it was, and then the right rear tire just decided to give up on life. It's weird because normally you get either a slow puncture, you know, because he was on the hard tire for 20-ish laps and they're supposed to go 40 or more than 40. So it's not like he's been driving like an absolute madman, making his tires blow up. And the team didn't see anything either. You know, normally you'd hear an onboard radio saying, you know, cool down your tires or whatever. But it just exploded, which... Ugh, unlucky.
Yeah.
Because then we were back to the regular order of 1-2, and then it's just interesting to see who takes that final podium position.
Yeah, it was really unlucky, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm glad if anyone has to be on the podium, and it's not Max, obviously the two Mercedes drivers. If it's anyone, I'm glad it's Danny Ric. But still, you know, you're gutted.
Yeah, and it was just really unlucky, wasn't it, for Max? And I think, you know, we've had tire explosions like that before, but it's been extremely hot.
Yeah.
Like we saw Silverstone a few years ago where they blew up, but of course it was cloudy for the race. So something's gone amiss there.
Yeah.
From what I gather, there was some debris that he ran over from someone else.
That's what
Christian Horner thought it was. My first thought was the curbs, because the amount of the curbs at the circuit seemed pretty high compared to your average track, right? So when I first saw it, I was like, potentially he's gone over a curb too deep or too harsh, and something's happened to the tire. But it obviously looks like, because when you watch the replay back, it's almost like his steering's off anyway. Like when you watch it, he's not steering straight into that corner. It's like he's fighting off something. If it was a slow puncher, like it would have just gradually gone down.
Because
it just went, you know. It'll be good to see kind of after they've done debrief, you know.
Yeah, what happened?
Find out what actually caused it, you know.
Well, there was a lot of debris on track, so that might be possible. But at first, I thought the suspension just snapped or the steering, because he was pretty much just a passenger the second it happened. But then, but you only have the onboard cameras, which is annoying.
Yeah, you would have thought, because they had a camera turn that chicane, didn't they?
Yeah.
Further out, so I don't know how, unless they were watching Hamilton go by and they didn't have enough time to swing the camera back.
Wasn't it his outside? Well, his back left tire that went
back right.
Was it back right? Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go then. So Brett potentially was, because
out of shot.
Tire would have been on by the gravel. So yeah, no, probably all right. He's probably run over something. I mean. If probably Lance Stroll's wing, considering how long that was out on 20 laps, I think we just sat there.
Yeah.
But the worst thing is that Red Bull finishes this weekend with 0 points because
of the other problem they had, which was Albon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which seems to be a weekly problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned it in our chat, Ken, about how you think Albon's gone by the time we get to Turkey in 2 weeks' time. I mean, he was okay. I mean, he lost a position off the start, but he was running around in sixth for the majority of that Grand Prix and then just spun up on cold tyres. And it's such a rookie error. But
I fully agree with you. It's such a rookie error. But he's been interviewed by Dutch TV and says, yeah, I think I got hit. You weren't, mate. Just take the blame. You'll be a lot more likable then.
So do we think?
I don't know. I kind of like him. I think he knows that he's in trouble, but he hasn't got the skill to do anything about it. You know, that's just. It's like that pressure of being Max's teammate when he's that much better than you are. It was the same with Gasly when he was terrible when he first went in that Red Bull. He was as bad as Albon when he was first in that Red Bull, right? And look at Gasly now. Best thing for his career is to not sack off the Red Bull program, which is I say week in week out. That is what you should do. That program is just toxic. If they've got one driver that's a star, you're never gonna get the chance to be as good, right? But. Albon, you know, he was battling with signs. There was a little gaggle of cars going through the left, right. And, you know, when, like you said, cold tyres, obviously, you know, when you're battling, you're not thinking, well, you might be, but you're not thinking about your tyres. You're thinking about defending the place or taking the place. And when you watch it back, Sainz is just holding back. And then he just obviously floors it. And because he's on cold tyres, he just spins out.
If you're Formula One driver, you're supposed to think about all that stuff. As regulars,
I know, but like that's why I'm saying he might not have them. But when you're fresh off a safety car and your tires are cold and whatever, and you're instantly stuck in a battle with a car that, in theory, should be slower, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it was another week where
it was
poor from him, but. You know, if he loses that seat, that his career's done, man. Like, he's not going to get another.
He's not going to get another seat.
He's not going to get in that AlphaTauri for at least 2 years, because of how that. Like, he's going to have to do what Hülkenberg's done and go and show that he's actually a good driver in a different motorsport for 2 or 3 years, because he's still really young. You know.
That's an advantage he has. Well, he can leave for 1 or 2 years. But thing is, once you're out of F1, it's quite difficult to get back in.
Yeah, I think as well, I know that you mentioned about him being out. I think he'll stay for the rest of the season because they've got no other options, really. So,
well, yeah, that's the thing. They don't have another option. Or they could make a shock move and announce someone. But
Red Bull don't do that. I reckon that if they were going to do it, it would be Pierre up and Alex down.
Nah.
No, I'm just saying, like, if they were to do something before the end of the season, I imagine they would do something like that. But, yeah, I don't know, seeing two former Red Bull drivers, you know, obviously Gasly didn't make it to the end, but if he would have, they could have got third and fourth today, you know?
Yeah.
That's saying a lot about how much pressure is put on you if you're the number two in that Red Bull car.
Yeah, but thing is, I mean, number two, I'm not sure, but for some reason, every time, if it's on Twitter or us in the podcast, every time we talk about Albon's performance, somehow always Max gets dragged in and like he's
well,
like he's the bad
because he's, well, but... he's his teammate and he's so far off Max's pace. Mm. They're in the same car. You should be able to at least get close or in, you know, for Bottas he got pole and he was keeping the leads, you know.
Yeah, he actually shows that he's worthy.
Exactly. Whereas Albon looks, he doesn't even look half of the driver that Max is. That's why I'm saying
he looks out of place in that Red Bull.
Exactly. The reason why Max always gets dragged into the conversation is literally because you're meant to, you're in the same car as your teammate, so you're meant to qualify and race close. And this then leads on to Max saying, I need him with me so he can defend from Merck and use the strategy. But because he's nowhere near him, they can't do
that. The thing is, like some people say, oh, that other Red Bull, or the Red Bull car is just undrivable because it's suited to Max. But there is one thing like that 75% of people on Twitter obviously don't know. But the thing is, Red Bull Racing, well, this year, all the data they get, 99% of it comes from Max.
Well, yeah, and, he's the number one driver, right?
So let me put it, 99% of useful information comes from Max. 99% of the points come from Max. Do you think it's weird that they shift their focus towards someone who can actually, when you ask him, what's happening with the rear end in turn three? And you have one driver that goes, and then you have the other driver that goes, like, I need a little bit more rear wing in that corner, this, that. Yeah, it's obvious that they're going to, you know, yeah, that Red Bull looks like a pain in the ass to drive. So does the Ferrari. Leclerc is just suited to it much, or adapted a lot better than Vettel. And the same is happening in, with the Red Bull. Yeah, it's a difficult car to drive. Max obviously has had for the 2016, 17, 18, 19, well, 5 years to you know, adapt to it. But Albon is just, it's easy. If he would show some sort of progression, that he's getting used to it.
Yeah, you know, there's no progression, is there?
No, there's no progression. Like, I'm just looking at the all the race results so far. Every time Verstappen DNF'd, which three of them were on Italian soil. he DNF'd in Austria, first race of the season. Albon came 13th. Well, DNF, but did 90% of the race. Then, what's the other Italian track? Not Tuscany.
Mugello.
No, that's
Monza.
Tuscany. Monza, thank you. Monza, Max DNF'd. Albon came home 15th. And then, well, obviously you have today where Albon came, I don't know, 15th, 14th, something like that.
Yeah, he's just, I think, yeah, he's out of his depth, I think. And I like him as a bloke, but he's just not good enough, I don't think, for Formula One yet. Well, sorry.
Yet.
He's good enough, but not for a top team. Like you could say the same about Gasly. When he joined Red Bull, he was not ready to join Red Bull. And that's why I think the last year and a half of him being an AlphaTauri has improved him so much as a driver and I think as a person as well. And I think Albon could have done with another year in AlphaTauri before moving anywhere.
Before moving
I think part of it as well is when you're a racing driver, when it's bad, it really is bad.
Yeah,
you know? And Gasly's been able to get out of Red Bull and do good and, you know, get a podium and win a race, you know. So now he's feeling a lot better about the car he's driving, whereas you just feel like everything is against you when, you know, the smallest thing and you've spun off and your race is like, you know, it's, I think the best thing for him to do is, you know, I want him to stay in the sport. I wouldn't want to say anybody apart from Max should get kicked out of the sport. But best thing for him to do is try to maybe take a couple of years out, prove that he's good enough for the seat. And then, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in 2022. You know, the cars might suit him, but you just don't know. Nobody knows. It was another one of those races for him today where you're just thinking, how can you be so much worse than your teammate? But
But there's a lot of drivers on the current grid where you're like, they're fine where they are at the moment. For example, Giovinazzi, fine at Alfa Romeo. I don't see him moving up.
I found out that Ferrari choose who sits in that second Alfa Romeo seat because so Ferrari chose to keep him seat and not promote Schumacher or Mazepin or Ilott.
Because they're pretty much confirmed that Haas.
Yeah, I know, but I thought, he's okay, Giovinazzi, but he's no superstar.
It's
difficult when you're in that car though to prove yourself. And apart from especially next to Kimi, he's like world class talent, you know. I think it's strange when you get that far down the grid. It is just shit, isn't it? Haas are just terrible. Alpha outside of Kimi are just unbearable. Williams outside of Russell is just dreadful.
Latifi is wank.
It is because nobody. I couldn't name one person that would miss having any of those. Okay, maybe Williams, but Haas and Alpha, I couldn't care less about. They could disappear tomorrow. But like, oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. What the team was drivers?
Let's get Lotus and Virgin back. Go on.
HRT make a return from nowhere.
Ooh. Okay.
That's pushing it.
There is actually. Ollie, you mentioned a Mazepin and a Schumacher.
Yeah.
Apparently, quite a spicy thing. Günther Steiner, as you know.
Big up.
Yeah, Meme Steiner. Apparently asked Alfa Romeo to hold off on the official announcement that they would continue with Raikkonen and Giovinazzi because Haas haven't confirmed their drivers yet. But, you know, it's no longer speculation. You just know Mazepin and Schumacher are going to be there. But apparently they asked Alfa Romeo to hold back on the official announcement because then that would make it sort of official, whereas now it was still like, ooh, where's Schumacher going to go? Is he going to go to Haas? Is he going to go to Alfa Romeo?
Mm.
And then Alfa Romeo just said like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that.
And CBA, then,
Yeah. It's a bit of political sport, isn't it?
F1 is very political.
It's always been like that. It's always been...
Oh.
Want to say, I think the one thing that we haven't mentioned so far, I mean, I know... I've quickly mentioned Williams, but I know we said earlier about the Russell spinning out thing, but that is the one thing in the whole race that the race was relatively dull, apart from the odd little crash
carnage
or the odd battle. But in terms of like that, I'd like to see the track again. Don't get me wrong. They need to put another DRS zone in it somewhere because that one down straight, nobody could overtake going into turn one at all. Yeah. The track, obviously all of the drivers love the track. I know Lewis and George both said that they want to go back there next year. And I can imagine with fans there, that is going to be a great day out. You know,
cold enough of noise.
Exactly. It's going to be a great track to visit, but they've got to do something about the overtaking. They've got to do something about that for every track. I'm hoping that Turkey is different, even if it is DRS overtakes, man. At least it still overtakes, you know.
Yeah, it's something.
Turkey next week.
Oh, me too.
It's been when was the last time that Turkey was on the calendar?
2006? No.
2013? Was it?
We should know that this, recent?
Shouldn't we? I love F1.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Turkish Grand Prix. Last time was 2000 and...
So the 12th,
2011.
No! Damn it! So close. I was trying to go back in the... As bad as it sounds, going back through the games. Trying to remember the last time I drove that track on one of the F1 games. Looking forward to that because it's a very quick track.
Ooh! I'm just looking up some information about it. It's an anti-clockwise track.
Imola was anti-clockwise too, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a fun trivia question. Anti-clockwise. Well, Brazil?
And Yas Marina.
Yeah.
No, Brazil's... No, yeah, you're right.
Brazil's anti-clockwise. That's a cool
thing. Oh, yeah, you're right. It is anti-clockwise. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, there was a Dutch commentator that said, you know, for future reference, if... new tracks are being built or rebuilt. Because obviously you got Tilke, who, you know, designed a lot of tracks. But the Dutch commentator had a point saying, like, you know, if a circuit wants to be considered to be added to the Formula One circuit, it needs one thing and one thing only, and that's elevation changes. Because every driver loves them. And we love watching it.
Yeah,
these Dutch commentators are so much better than Brundy and Crofty. Can't look. mix them together, Brundy.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. They have their moments where you're like, "Oh, shut up, man!" But on the other hand, sometimes the main commentator gives a lot of information for fans that aren't new to the sport, like really into detail, and not everyone likes it. But if you're a fan of the sport, you're like, he's got a point there. I didn't know that. You know, like some minor details. Yeah. And also, they're less shouty at the start, looking at no one from a certain Sky F1. how do you guys watch that all race? I get a massive headache watching the
I can't lie. Highlights. Most of the time, the races are boring, so I mute it and put on something else. Next.
Massive fan.
I have the Sky F1 feed on, but then I mute it and put the BBC commentary on.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Julian Palmer and Jack Nicholson.
Oh, okay, no, now you've said that, I'm completely against it.
Julian Palmer as an what would you call it, analyst?
Yeah, that guy that clearly knows so much about the sport, he won and lost a seat in a season. So. Mm.
Well, he gave us great knowledge. Yeah,
2 years.
Yeah, 2 seasons in the
race. Okay, sorry. Won and lost a seat in two seasons.
There we go. That's
well, he, right, no,
that's
but
equally a shit. It doesn't give him any justice.
He shared some great wisdom with us, like you have to be alert on the street circuit.
On a street circuit, yeah.
So this week's news, it's a bit of an interesting statement, let's say, from Mr. Hamilton after the race. And Rickson, being the Mercedes fan, I think you should talk about it first.
I mean, he basically just came out and said that he doesn't know if he's going to be racing at Merck next year, which, given somebody that has had, you know, he's got the fastest car, some say he's had a very easy ride, I think that's a bit of a questionable statement from him, really. I mean, because the regs aren't going to change for another year. He's, in my eyes, he's got another title in the bag. I don't know why he'd call it a day when he's, well, not call it a day, but say that he won't sign with Merck again. But I just think it's one of those things that you just say, don't you, just to try and move the team to whatever it's stalling him from signing the contract. It's basically that's his move to say, I might not sign with you next year if you don't pay me more or give me enough bonus or whatever. So yeah, I just thought that was something that is newsworthy, really. I mean, I don't know where he'd go, probably start a fashion line or something, but he definitely there'd be no point in him driving for another team because he's too good for the rest of the teams that have a seat free. So yeah, that's it from me.
Yeah, that's the problem, there's no free seats. As then I think if he wins it, this at 7 this year, if he wins it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he wants to break that record of 7 from Schumacher. So they'll find a way of doing it. I'm no doubt he'll stay for another year, at least.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully,
because I'm really, after Russell's little mishap today, I'm really struggling to find another driver to follow once Hamilton goes.
Oh dear. Next up, Ken, we're heading over to the States to a bit of IndyCar.
Yes. Yeah, last week, after we recorded the podcast for last week, there was the final race of the IndyCar season on the streets of St. Petersburg, street circuit in Florida, which was a incident-filled race, to say the least. Especially at the end, there was quite some chaos, and during the race, the safety car, or pace car, as they call it over there, had to come out quite often. So often that the final time it had to come out, it actually ran out of petrol.
Really?
Yeah.
It ran out of petrol on the way
around.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, they got those bright blue Honda Civics.
Oh, dear.
Well, apparently there were so many crashes. And I don't think... I'm like, why don't put a full tank of petrol in? I mean, yeah, whether it's 7 safety car moments or just one, why start with only half a tank?
That's stupid. Unless it ran out of petrol from doing other bits and bobs pre-race, but...
Burnouts and...
Yeah, there's been quite a few safety car fails. I remember World Touring Cars a few years ago, the safety car actually crashed with one of the leading cars at the Macau circuit.
Yeah.
And there's been plenty of blunders. Luckily, we don't see it in F1. But that's to actually run out of petrol. I mean, I presume they had a backup.
Well, no, they didn't. The race leader acted as a safety car.
Right.
So his name is Joseph Newgarden. He was keeping up the pace. Setting the pace. And then there were 21 laps to go, and he pretty much got the green light from the race director to, you know, you can floor it again. But I don't know. It seems like he's at an advantage there, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Because they tell him. Yeah. Well, it's a bit the same as in Formula 1, because then the safety car just goes in, and then the race leader can dictate the pace.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's beneficial, isn't it?
It's a good solution, but if I were IndyCar for next season, I'd order another Honda to maybe have 2 safety cars.
Yeah, maybe you should be on the panel for suggestions next year, Ken, because for that to happen, it's quite bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
So finally, my topic that I want to talk about is a new series that started next year called Extreme E. So it's the new off-road motor racing series that's launching, but it's all electric. So imagine rallycross cars, but
electric.
Electric, but they're more Jeep-like cars, and they're racing in places which are experiencing more effects from climate change. So Greenland, Senegal, Abu Dhabi, which I question because it's a really rich place, somewhere in the Amazon, and there's one more location they haven't announced yet. But what I love is there's going to be no paddock, because, of course, building a paddock is and all the materials that go into it is bad for the environment. So the paddock is on a boat. So the boat goes around
that's
the world.
Actually so sick.
So the boat goes around the world, and all the teams will have the paddock on the boat. They won't drive off the boat, and that's, you know, that's go. But it's all on this giant old, it's an old a Royal Mail boat that they've found somehow. But that boat travels on the world with all the cars on it. So hopefully it doesn't get into a massive wave and, you know, imagine and all the millions and billions of equipment on that boat, all the cars and stuff. But it's got quite a good, I say quite a good lineup. They've got Lucas Degrassi, Andre Lotterer, Jamie Chadwick, Billy Mong is also racing. So names that people know.
I like that Billy's racing.
And also... Yeah,
the first year you said Lotterer. Aren't they racing Formula E at the moment?
Definitely, yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, 2 of them, yeah.
Right.
So the way it's a 16... From what I gather, it's like rallycross. It's 2 laps of a 16-kilometer circuit, but with 4 cars on it. So it's... And then there's... I think there's going to be 10 or 12 teams, and they all, it's like rallycross. It's if you do well, you then progress to the final. But of course, Hamilton and Rosberg both have teams in this new series. So it's, I whether it goes well, I don't know. I mean, it's the same guys who started Formula E are starting this series. So, and Formula E, was it 6th season now? So if that's successful, why can't this be?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
So,
well, the thing is, if Hamilton and Rosberg both have a team, let's just hope they don't go to Spain.
No, don't think they're going to Spain.
But I'm looking at the teams that are in it. Actually, Andretti, ABT or APT, I don't know how you pronounce it, but that's like the tuning department of Audi, isn't it?
Yep.
Then you got the Cheetah, who's also in Formula E.
Yeah.
And then Veloci, isn't that an esports team?
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
How did they get the funding to get into this?
we don't talk about them after they brought about 100,000 followers. So,
yeah. did they actually?
Yeah, do you not remember that whole?
I remember something about it.
I started beef with TRL Limitless because he joined a fake team that brought followers. I started searching the usernames of the people that were following them. This is when they were like nothing, right? This was when it was just Limitless. And I started talking all this shit. And then Limitless, I used to do graphics for Limitless and I was just talking shit. This is when I didn't care, which I'm starting to question now. my life could be very different. But yeah, I messaged him and I was like, you do realize this, that brought a load of fake followers. And he was like, no. And then the team, they sent me a DM going, oh, I just wanted to say, you know, you can stop saying this nonsense about it to somebody. I can't remember. I don't have the DM anymore, but they essentially phrased it as, it wasn't us who brought the followers. They were randomly put on our account. I did marketing at a company for like 2 years. That's basic stuff. That just doesn't happen, right? Like, that's obvious. It's obvious lies. Anyway, I don't think it's their team, but they're sponsoring a team, maybe?
They're like
the title sponsor, which is cool, seeing, you know, even though I don't think very fondly of them. It's pretty cool that they've been able to go from, you know, gaming and actually have a sponsor. I think it's John Eric Verne. Technically, it's John Eric Verne's team.
Yes, yeah.
I'm not sure he's one of his sponsors. They get the C, and Adrian Newey or something. It was a couple of years ago now when that happened, but they're linked with Newey. But no, it's cool. I'm probably going to give it a go. With stuff like that, I usually watch it for a bit and see whether I like it.
Yeah, but the cars look really cool, actually. It looks like something you'd race in Forza Horizon or something.
I was thinking the same thing. It looks like a Forza, Forza thing.
Apparently it was at Goodwood in 2019, but I haven't really heard of it until like a month ago. So it's strange. It had a run at Goodwood at 2019. And if you want to see it in action, Ken Block has driven it.
Yes.
And uploaded it on YouTube. And it looks...
Oh, that's cool.
It actually looks really cool. It's like, I don't know, like a little dune buggy on steroids, but all electric. I mean, that could be cool.
They Bottas tested it.
All right.
It was between Portugal and the race before. So he has tested big names have tested them, and there's guys in Rallycross have tested it, and in Rally as well, who have tested these cars. So it's a well thought out process. Yeah. Whether it's successful, I don't know.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? Because current Rallycross cars and Rally cars, obviously those turbos pull, so they're all turbocharged engines.
Yes.
And they accelerate. Well, the top speed isn't high, but they accelerate like a bat out of hell. So it makes sense. It makes sense to go to electric because you got that instant torque.
Mm. Yeah, and the thing is, Rallycross are introducing their own electric series in as well. So
yeah,
everyone's really going electric. It depends when F1 will go more electric.
I don't mind having. I don't mind having electric series, but not as a replacement for, because original Rallycross, not much can beat that, can it? Like those turbocharged engines.
But that's happening, Ken. Top tier Rallycross is changing.
Don't take it away from me yet.
So old. Come on, man. Times are changing. The youth are taking over. All right,
let's. No, but say this pandemic goes away once, eventually, and you can go to events again. What do you fancy more? Standing on the sideline with a beer, and cars going.
I want to talk to me about, would I rather go to Rallycross or something else? Because the last time I went to a Rallycross thing, it was the most sunburned I've been in my whole life.
I remember
particularly fond of Rallycross, and Ollie will be able to, unfortunately, back me up on that one.
It was as if...
It was a great day. It was a great day. Don't get me wrong, but yeah.
It was as if someone had splattered tomato sauce all over Rickson's head. It was very red or something. It was funny though. But I get that's the whole issue is now is the noise thing, isn't it, in electric cars. I don't mind it personally. I quite like the electric noise.
I don't Last year was the first year I've watched the whole season of FA, and because it was on it was on the BBC, it was easy to get hold of. I was having a great time. I was watching everything. I was watching the build up, which I don't even do for F1 because I knew that it would be close. But I think saying that is because I don't really know the drivers particularly well. I was last year especially. I was trying to make a conscious effort to watch it more. So I'm open to. I thought it was good. I think racing on the smaller tracks is a great idea.
I have the same issue as you do, racing on Friday afternoon or Friday evening, I'd see a trailer Formula E this weekend, and I'm I'm gonna watch that, and then I didn't watch it. Oh well.
Oops,
oops, because I can't, Formula E. The noise isn't. It's a group of coked up mosquitoes. Does that make sense?
How would you know what that sounds like, Ken?
He's old, Rickson, and he'd know something like that.
Yeah, mate, the 60s. Oof.
The 60s.
But if this doesn't sound, or if this sounds, some electric cars actually sound acceptable, but then you got electric Hondas that sounds like a choir. If you reverse, they go because I don't know what it does.
I'd quite like that. Obviously, it would have to be a good choir. I'm not talking your average Sunday service church choir.
Oh no, please don't.
I want a top tier choir boy to do my car sounds for me. But I don't think there's anything, and that's how it's going, unfortunately, for you, Ken. That's how it's going to be eventually. Everything's going
to
be.
Yeah, I know.
We're all going to be driving cars that are shaped like cubes and hover eventually. Probably not.
I'm not going to complain at that, though. I quite like that idea.
Probably not in your lifetime, Ken, and maybe not even in yours, Al, but in mine, definitely, hopefully.
The more electric racing series they do, the more petrol is left for the rest of us.
Wow, it's such an old man thing to say, honestly. Get a grip. We're all going electric, Ken.
It's going to happen at some point. It's going to be Ken.
Once the prices drop off an electric car, fine. But the average man, the average working man doesn't have 40, 55.
You don't have to spend that much money for an electric car. You can buy yourself a Nissan Leaf for about less than 10 grand.
A Nissan Leaf is 4 grand over there?
I looked the other day when you and I had a chat, Ken, about it.
Yeah.
And a Nissan Leaf is 4 grand. Second hand.
You can buy 2 courses.
A Leaf here is 34,140.
Not brand new. Second hand.
Oh, second hand. Right. Well, let me have a look for that then. I guarantee it's more than 50.
Database for dodgy cars.
Belgian Craigslist.
I can guarantee you it's more than 15 grand for a second hand one.
It was 4 grand for one. I think it done about 92,000 miles. Of course, the battery's not going to be.
Who drove that car 92,000 miles, man? Please, come on.
Some eco warrior.
Right. So the cheapest one, which is the first generation, which has a worse battery pack and everything, is still €9,500, and that's the cheapest.
What a bargain that is!
For Nissan Leaf.
I'd buy one within a flash if I had 9 grand to spend in the car.
Top of my list, it goes Nissan Leaf, and then
Nissan Leaf, and then a Prius.
Oh, Prius, yeah.
Who am I even talking? Right, that's it. No, but thing is, say a second hand. Well, not the Leaf, maybe the Hyundai Kona, which is an acceptable electric car. Yeah,
cracking.
Say 27k. For a Hyundai Kona, that's BMW M3 money. Guess which one I'd rather have?
Kona.
No! obviously not a new M3, the only M3 that counts, which is the E46 M3. That's the same price as a second-hand electric car. I can choose that in a heartbeat.
You're doing damage to the planet, Ken. Do you not want your young child to grow up in a fruitful world with trees and ice caps?
Yeah, your child is coming within the next couple of months, so you better sort yourself out, Ken.
Ken's going to be driving around in an absolute shitbox that's got the blackest fumes you've ever seen.
Black, one of those American trucks.
Don't you worry about it. There's nothing to see it. Whereas me and Ollie are in our Nissan Leafs, saving the planet. under the watchful eyes of our god Lewis Hamilton. All right.
Go on, child. Smell it. Smell the fumes. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for you.
Sure.
I'm just trying to kill everybody.
Well, that reminds me. I'm going to pull my catalytic converter from under my car just to piss you off even more.
Has anyone else noticed that podcast a little bit better because Alex isn't here?
Yeah, so much better. I've never been happier.
Oh dear. I don't know what he's doing. He's probably got a swimming competition with his underage girlfriend. But anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about two lies and a truth, which is my turn this week, which is nice. So the first one you've got to guess, guys, is the fastest time around the Nürburgring is done by an electric car. That's the first statement. The second statement is in 2004, Jaguar fitted £150,000 diamonds to the front of their F1 cars to show off for the new James Bond movie at the Monaco Grand Prix. And finally, let's find where the answer is. Jensen Button failed his first driving test. So out of those three
good ones,
which one is
true? I'm just going to jump in immediately because I already know which one's true.
Yeah, I think I know it as well. I'm not sure.
I already know which one's true, and it is the truth, the Jaguar. Jaguar diamond one, because I remember reading somewhere that it went missing.
And I was going to say the same thing.
I bet it's far too easily, obviously.
And there was a £400,000 diamond just disappeared, and Jaguar were like, well, oh well. And
that was that's how I remember the story.
Ah, I just realised, you're right, and I just realised it was a wrong film. It was Ocean's 12, not James Bond.
Oh, well, you know.
I've messed up my whole section. So, yeah, you are right. Well done. I made that far too easy. So I think that's it for the fourth episode of the Good Watch podcast. Thank you ever so much for listening. If you are new around here, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, iTunes and Podomatic. And if you watch the actual podcast on YouTube, thank you for doing that as well. We're trying to get that up to scratch. But if you do watch on there, don't forget to subscribe. And also follow us on Twitter at GridWatchersPod if you are on that platform as well. But thank you to Ken and Rick for joining me once again on the pod. And we'll see you in 2 weeks for the Turkish Grand Prix. But we might do some mid Grand Prix episodes, which are will be non-related to F1, but if you follow us on Twitter, you'll see the latest on that. But I think that runs off for episode 4, and we'll see you very soon.